on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Emma Ryan with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Lifferinstrabane Bridge has reopened following a collision. Fears an essential homeless service in the northwest is in danger of closing before Christmas. Concerns continue to be raised over potential delays to the four-lane project in Letterkenny, and the agricultural minister says he's hopeful problems with school transport in North Inishowen will be resolved shortly. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin. But first in news, and the Lifford Road in Strabane has reopened following an earlier road traffic collision. The Lifford-Strabane Bridge had been closed to traffic since around 10 a.m. this morning due to a collision involving a motorcyclist on the Strabane Road. The road has now reopened and police say traffic is moving well. No further information is available at this time. Police in Strabane are seeking help in establishing the movements and whereabouts of a vehicle that damaged a police car in the town last evening. It's believed the BMW car involved in the incident may have crossed into Strabane from Donegal. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
At around 10 past 7 last night, PSNI officers on patrol in Strabane were alerted to a red BMW 3 Series on Lifford Road. They attempted to stop the vehicle as it travelled into O'Nolan Park. However, as the driver of the BMW made off, they say the vehicle collided with the police car, causing damage to the front of it. Neither of the two officers in the police car were injured. Police say they are anxious to establish the identity of the driver and of the whereabouts of the red BMW, and are keen to hear from anyone who may have seen it or have dash cam footage. They believe at this time it may have travelled into Strabane from Donegal.
The agricultural minister says he's hopeful problems with school transport in North Inishowen will be resolved shortly. There isn't enough capacity for all children with tickets on some routes, particularly between Clonmany and Carindonagh, and this morning there were reports on the 9 till noon show of pupils effectively fighting for a seat on the bus. Minister Charlie McConnellogue has acknowledged the North Inishowen route is one of a number which have experienced disruption, and he's liaising with Minister Norma Foley in a bid to secure another bus.
I know it's been challenging for the families, it's been challenging for bus there, and I've been liaising with Minister Foley and she's very much aware of it. There is an additional bus being requested there.
When will that be delivered, Minister? I mean, you're in a very senior position here.
Yeah,
when will you deliver that bus?
I'm hoping we can get an answer on that now very quickly, and I've been liaising with Minister Foley on it, so I hope very, very quickly.
Concerns continue to be raised over potential delays to the four-lane project in Letterkenny. Works have been ongoing for months now and have resulted in much disruption to traffic, with it being the main artery into the town. The roadworks were due to be complete by November this year. At the latest meeting with local councillors, they remain confident the project would be delivered within the timeframe. Cathaoirleach of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly, however, fears this may not be the case. He says more resources need to be deployed to ensure works are completed as soon as possible.
At the time we raised our concerns, we feared that this was running way off schedule, but the contractors at the time made us aware that they were fairly sure that they would have this wrapped up by November. As things stand at the minute there, I can't see this being read up for November. We're coming in now to that next month, whether we like it or not, you're coming into the festive season. You know, when Christmas is only around the corner, things are going to get busy. You have a lot of businesses along that road, and believe me, the businesses as it is are suffering because of the project being so far behind and taking so long. It's not fair for these businesses to suffer any longer. And I think as well as Donegal County Council as a body should be applying more pressure on the contractors of the four lane to get this moving quicker, put more men on the ground and have the work completed sooner rather than later.
It's thought part of a satellite falling from space could have caused a fireball spectacle last night. The International Meteor Organization recorded 876 reports of a glowing flash, with the majority of sightings between 9 a.m. and 10 p.m. Witness reports were recorded in 17 counties across Ireland, including in Donegal, Dublin, Cork, Galway and Wexford. Joe McNeil captured the video of the fireball last night after seeing it from outside his house in West Belfast.
We did the lock the car and just bring a few bits and pieces in. Looked up the sky and I saw what I thought was a firework at first, and the colour changing to like a greeny blue colour. And I quickly then realised what it was and was trying to pull out the phone and record it.
Magella O'Donnell has been nominated as a Global Hero of Hope by the Relay for Life organisation in Donegal. Miss O'Donnell, who was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2013, has become a passionate campaigner for more cancer services and an advocate of regular tests and checks for early detection. The Hero of Hope designation is one which recognises a cancer survivor who is an example to others and embodies the reality that life continues after illness. Magella O'Donnell says she's honoured by the nomination.
We need as much awareness about the whole thing as possible, and awareness about people checking their bodies and finding out as early as they can. There's just so much work to be done, and it's not just 1 year, it's ongoing. And they're making so many inroads, you know, with research, and they're, as I say, people are living longer, and it's fantastic, and I'm just delighted to be and proud to be nominated from Donegal.
The announcement was made at a presentation last night, at which it was revealed that Relay for Life in Donegal raised just over €101,000 this year, bringing the total raised over the past 10 years to €1.53 million. The event was told that last year the Irish Cancer Society spent €230,000 in Donegal in services in the community and research projects at Letterkenny University Hospital. The Irish Cancer Society's campaign manager is Donegal native Sinead Gillespie.
We have a number of different services that are there to support cancer patients and their families. We have our volunteer driver service. We also have our amazing night nurses who allow cancer patients to spend their last nights at home in the comfort of their own surroundings with family and friends around them. And then we also have our support line. It's 1800 200 700. Like, all those services and that research is funded by events like this happening across the country. And we are so grateful for everyone that gets involved.
The Taoiseach has indicated he's open to Bertie Ahern returning to Fianna Fáil after calls from other party members. A number of TDs and senators, including Senator Niall Blaney, want to see him back in the fold. But on today's 9 till noon show, Minister Charlie McConnellogue declined to offer an opinion. Mr Ahern resigned from the party 10 years ago in the wake of the Mahon Tribunal, which found he failed to truthfully account for the sources of money he lodged into his bank account in the 1990s. Micheál Martin says it's a valid discussion ahead of the Good Friday Agreement's 25th anniversary.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, it's 10 years on. I'm conscious of the contribution he has made to peace in the country. It made a very significant contribution. And that's something that we, in the fullness of time, we could look at.
A Donegal deputy says the government's response to the cost of living crisis has been differing, as he called for urgent action to be taken. Speaking in the Dáil last night, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin suggested the government should cut and cap electricity charges to pre-crisis levels and make targeted payments to those most in need. In response to the motion on household bills assistance, Minister Eamon Ryan said energy is being used as a weapon of war, and says the government is aware of the difficulties and pressures facing families. Deputy McLaughlin says the government's response is simply not good enough.
The response of the government to this energy crisis has been differing again. If you look at the league table of European countries in terms of what they provided to their people as a percentage of GDP, Ireland is right there at the bottom of the list. Only Denmark is worse. That's just a shameful response to an unprecedented energy crisis that our people face, be it home heating oil, be it solid fuels, be it petrol, diesel for their cars.
Donegal County Council is being urged to review traffic management in Buncrana. An increase in traffic in the area is said to have a negative impact on congestion in the town. Councillor Raina Donaghy is calling for a new traffic management plan to be put in place for works to commence on establishing an inner relief road. She says infrastructure must be upgraded in tandem with the growth of Buncrana.
Buncrana is a big town. It's growing steadily, thankfully. And it's the third largest town in the whole northwest of Ireland. After Letterkenny and Sligo, you have Buncrana. And this year we did notice a big difference in the traffic. Really and truly, we have not got the traffic management to deal with it. We have tailbacks all the time. And the overall traffic management needs to be looked at. Yes, we do have an outer relief road planned and an inner relief road planned. But we need to be looking at the traffic lights on Cockhull Road, that road, a road be made right in through that part of the town. We have the new three-campus school coming on. We have the new primary care centre, which will be like a mini hospital. And we have the digital hub. We already have two secondary schools in Buncrana and a third on the outskirts. It is a very busy town. At peak times, it's absolutely jammed. And we definitely need to look at a plan for the traffic in the area to make the passing a lot quicker. Definitely, Buncrana needs a new traffic management plan. As I say, at peak times, when going to school, coming from work, coming from school, all of that, there's a backlog of traffic. It used to only be on a Thursday or on a Friday, but now there's tailbacks almost every day in the week, and we need to get that sorted for the good of Buncrana.
A Clonhilly councillor says lives are being lost because of a lack of footpaths in the area. Councillor Michael McClafferty told a meeting of Glenthie's Municipal District this week that Transport Infrastructure Ireland is not providing adequate funding to Donegal for the development of greenways and footpaths, and the county must demand its fair share. Councillor McClafferty says when it comes to footpaths, the policy seems to be not to develop them when the speed limit goes beyond 50 kilometres per hour. That's a policy he believes needs to change.
We have a very serious situation there from Dunfanaghy towards Chrysler, vice versa. The two towns need to get linked up for footpaths for safety, and at the moment that's not happening because the TAA seems, in general, they are not funding any allocations outside of speed limits, and that's very wrong in our eyes, and that's something needs to change. Unfortunately, down through the years, in Dunfanaghy in particular, several people have lost their lives as a result of no footpaths in that area, and we're trying to resolve that.
It's now 12 minutes past five. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back right after these with sport.
This is Aisling from Oxfam, Ireland. My colleagues in East Africa are ramping up their efforts to tackle an extreme hunger crisis in the region. People have endured four seasons of failed rains, with a fifth now predicted. This is our final chance to help families survive, but we need your help. Please donate today at oxfam.ie. Thank you.
Farmers, you're built different. One step after the other, you don't see the rewards for months or years. That's life on the farm. Or you could say, that's life in rehab. When you're learning to walk after a machinery injury, one step after the other, you don't see the rewards for months or years. Just because you've the strength to see you through rehab, it doesn't mean you should have to. Farmers always take care around machinery. From the Health and Safety Authority, visit hsa.ie/farmsafety.
Do you need a little extra help staying in your home? At Bluebird Care, we offer a wide variety of Qmark-approved personalised home care services across Donegal. And our fully trained and committed staff will always meet your care needs with kindness, compassion and dignity. To get your personal home care assessment plan, visit bluebirdcare.ie or call our care team today on 07491 29562 and bring care home.
We know it's only September, but here at House to Home, we're already thinking Christmas. If you need a new Irish-made suite of furniture in time for the festive season, call into our showroom in Bridgend, Donegal. Our suites of furniture are handmade here in Ireland, and they usually take 8 to 10 weeks from ordering. So if you're looking to cosy up on a new sofa and enjoy some Christmas movies, then call into House to Home in Bridgend, Donegal.
Nutrius Winter Beef Feed Offer, directly supported by the Arrivo Fodder Support Fund, is now available at your local Homeland store. Buy 10 bags of Nutrius Super Beef Gold ATP or Nutrius Max Maize Mix, get one free. The Nutrius Beef ATP Pack enhances animal performance through maximizing rumen efficiency. T's and C's apply. Contact your local Homeland or Farm Commercial Specialist today. Visit nutrius.ie for full product details.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to Highland Radio News. It's over now to Kenny Harkin for all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Emma. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. And Stephen Kenny says Robbie Brady has earned his recall to the Republic of Ireland squad. A string of fine performances for Preston this season has seen Brady return to the international fold for the first time in 18 months. Also returning is Cardiff's Callum O'Dowda. But Liverpool goalkeeper Kevin Kelleher misses out through injury. Seamus Coleman, James McLean and Shane Duffy are all included in the squad. Ireland are away to Scotland on the 24th of this month with Armenia visiting Dublin 3 days later. And Aaron Connolly has been named in the Irish under 21 squad for their European Championship playoff with Israel. Currently on loan with Venezia, Connolly's last under 21 cap came 3 years ago away to Sweden. There's a first call up for Lincoln defender Sean Rohan, while Brighton's 17-year-old striker Evan Ferguson is also included, as are Derry City goalkeeper Brian Maher and Sligo goalkeeper Luke McNicholas. Now, there's an under 19 women's friendly on tonight, and Sligo Rovers player Emma Doherty from Buncrana is captain of the team. Ireland are away and they're playing. Portugal's just kicked off. Elsewhere, Jack Byrne and Rory Gaffney, they return to the Shamrock Rovers side for this evening's Conference League Group F game away to Ghent. Daniel Cleary replaces Sean Hoare in defence for the game in Belgium, which starts shortly at 5:45. At the same time in that group, Ure Gardens, they entertain Molde. And West Ham are also in Conference League action tonight. They're away to Silkeborg from 8 o'clock, and Hearts, they're away to Latvians RFS. And Cristiano Ronaldo, he leads the line for Manchester United in their Europa League Group E game away to Sheriff. Kickoff in Moldova is at 5:45. In other news, a FIFA committee is meeting today to decide whether to expel Ecuador from this winter's World Cup in Qatar. It's claimed the country's right back, Brian Castillo, who played 8 qualifiers, is actually Colombian. Chile or Peru could replace Ecuador at the tournament should they be thrown out. There's just a schools result today from the FAI Schools Minor Girls National Cup semi-final. It was a disappointment for Deal College of Raphoe. They were defeated by Presentation College of Athenry by 3-1. The game was played in Sligo today. In Gaelic Games, the Roscommon Competitions Control Committee has recommended a 96-week ban for the individual involved in an incident which required a referee to be hospitalised. The incident occurred during an under-17 meeting of St Aidan's and St Dominic's in Ballyforan. The incident led to a referee strike in Roscommon and a Garda investigation. There's one fixture on the pitch tonight in the Tyrone Intermediate Football Championship Round 1. Tatty Ray, they're playing Escara. That's in Fintana. It starts at 7:30 tonight. In tennis, Roger Federer has announced his retirement from competitive tennis. The 41-year-old says next week's Laver Cup in London will be his final outing as an ATP pro. During an incredible career, Federer won 20 Grand Slams, including a record 8 Wimbledon singles titles. Announcing the news on social media today, Federer says an injury-plagued 3 years have forced his hand.
I am 41 years old. I've played more than 1,500 matches over 24 years. Tennis has treated me more generously than I ever would have dreamt, and now I must recognise when it is time to end my competitive career.
In golf, Rory McIlroy is a share of the clubhouse lead following his opening round of 67 at the Italian Open. He's joined in 4-under par by Adri Arnos and Gavin Green. Jost Luiten and Antoine Watt-Rosner, they hold the course lead on Rome on 5-under par. Next best of the Irish is Jonathan Caldwell. He shot a 1-under par round of 70. And Leona Maguire, she's in the field for the LPGA Tour's Portland Classic, which starts in Oregon later. Maguire is due out just before 9 o'clock Irish time. In rugby, the All Blacks, they sit top of the rugby championship table after putting together back-to-back wins. A last-gasp try from Jordy Barrett saw them defeat Australia 39-37 in Melbourne today. And Ulster Rugby set to name a stand at Kingspan Stadium in memory of former player Nevin Spence. The new stand will be unveiled next year. Finally, for this evening on The Score this week, we'll be joined by Glen Finn's Frank McGlynn to look at the quarterfinals of the Donegal Senior Football Championship. The junior soccer season's well underway in the North West. We'll be hearing from Inishowen League Secretary Dermot O'Brien. The Markovich Club in Killygordon won a second successive Camogie title in recent weeks. We'll be joined by their manager Paul Campbell. And Sean Molloy tells us about the recent success of members at the Offshore Rowing Championships. That's The Score with Oisin Kelly after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Emma.
Thanks, Kenny. And now we're going to Chris Ashmore, who has all the latest in farming news.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. A penalty regime similar to speeding fines has been considered for breaches of cattle tagging rules, according to the Irish Farmers Journal. Its senior news correspondent Declan O'Brien joins me on the line. So, Declan, update us on what could be coming down the track.
Well, Chris, it has been proposed by the Department of Agriculture that fixed penalty notices will be issued to herd owners or livestock owners who are found to be in serious breach of animal tagging and upkeep of registration records. Now, heretofore, such penalties were issued through cross-compliance, and it was taken as typically 3% of your single farm payment. But because under the new CAP regime, the animal identification is no longer a conditionality of CAP, they have to have a standalone regime to police animal identification. So the model that they are using is going to be the fixed penalties as you get for a speeding offence, where the department deem that the offence is serious, so that you're missing a number of tags, that you have been warned that and haven't acted, or that the register of animals on the farm is completely up or fairly well out of kilter with what is actually on that holding.
And when do you think this will actually come into effect?
Well, the talk is that it will come into effect with the new CAP regime in January. It's still under discussion with the farm arts and various stakeholders. Some sort of a penalty mechanism is required now that animal identification has been taken out of the cross-compliance regime. The level of fines are more or less in line with the typical level of fine that was there under the old system, although it is going to be more punitive for farmers with a smaller single farm payment. But I would say that it will get the green light and is likely to be in action by January of the coming year.
And I take it that should somebody fail to pay a fine, there could be a court appearance and an increased risk of further inspections.
That is exactly what is being said, Chris, you know.
And that was the senior news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, Declan O'Brien. Well, a major new report has just been published, The Economics of Afforestation and Management in Ireland, Future Prospects and Plans. And it was commissioned by the Auxilia Group and compiled by Professor Cathal O'Donoghue, who is the established chair of social and public policy, principal investigator at the Ryan Institute at the University of Galway. And delighted to say he joins me on the line. Professor, an extensive report. So What were the highlights that you found?
I guess we were asked to look at the situation in forestry at the moment. We know that it's been a major success story of 100 years, where we went from 1% in 1922 to 11% now. So we've radically changed the landscape, biggest land use change in the foundation of the state. But in the last few years, the planting level has fallen from over 20,000 hectares in the 90s down to 2,000 hectares last year. And it's a critical part of, I guess, the measures necessary for the country to achieve carbon neutrality by 2050. So, we did some work in trying to understand what's required, and actually we need to be planting 18,000 hectares a year to deliver that. The more we can do in forestry, the less we have to do in other sectors in achieving carbon neutrality. So it's a key challenge. It's an economic report, so we were trying to understand the kind of things that we could do to enable that, both in terms of financial incentives and behaviour. And we found that the value of carbon stored in the trees, which has been a value has been placed on it by the state now in terms of the carbon prices, gives you great potential to perhaps give better incentives and to plant forestry.
I think it's fair to say that a lot of people in Ireland probably aren't aware of the fact that compared to so many of our European neighbours, I mean, the amount of land that we actually have that is forested is a very small percentage.
That's right. It can be up to 25-30% in other countries. And we are a relative outlier in terms of the forest share. So even though we have probably the biggest increase in afforestation, we were starting with a very, very low level. We would still be low by European standards, absolutely.
And one of the key findings of the study was that if the afforestation target had been met, it would have allowed for carbon neutral dairy expansion. And that is such an important point.
Yeah, exactly. So we looked back at the Food Harvest Strategy 2020, which set targets for all the various sectors. We met the beef and the dairy targets early. We were successful there. We were good at making the change. But we missed the forest targets. And we looked at, I think it's about 3.9 livestock units, the emissions of 3.9 livestock units that a hectare of forest tree can cover. And so if you add up all of the forestry that we didn't plant, and you look at the emissions from the animals that are now there, there's an increase in animals of nearly 900,000 animals since 2011. So it's been quite a big increase. We could have sequestered all of the emissions for all, off into the future, of that extra amount if we'd planted those trees. So we could have had carbon neutral dairy expansion. And it kind of highlights the relationship between agriculture and forestry, that they can both assist each other, and that forestry can assist in managing the emissions that come from the agricultural sector. But we need to think about maybe more joined up thinking in linking the two sectors rather than treating them as independently. It's a very big challenge to go from 2,000 hectares now and, 6,000-7,000 last few years, 10,000 before that, to go up to 18,000 hectares. Probably business as usual won't work for that. And we were in a similar position before in the 1970s when we joined the EEC. There was a big fall off in planting, and we completely rethought the way we supported forestry. I think we're at a similar point again. It's critical that we do it, but we do need to look at the way we organise ourselves, the way we give incentives in terms of behaviour, the way we incorporate things in our strategy. It's not just a single department that can do all of this. It really has to be a whole of government perspective. And one of the pillars is a development agency. All the other natural resource sectors have agencies that help those sectors develop.
And finally, you made a number of cost-effective recommendations. So just picking out sort of the key ones there, what did you conclude with?
Well, I guess fundamentally, we should keep the ambitious target for forestry to necessary for carbon neutrality. When you think about it, how we incentivize it, and using the carbon value gives us great potential as we move our the value of carbon from 40 euro a tonne of carbon now to 265 euro in 2050. That presents great opportunities to incentivize. And then the way we organize ourselves.
And that was Professor Cathal O'Donoghue, the established Chair of Social and Public Policy, Principal Investigator at the Ryan Institute at the University of Galway. And finally, potatoes could play their part as a cure for a hangover. Scientists are working on what has been called a miracle potato milk drink that can ease the effects of having too much alcohol. So watch this space. It could be in a store near you in the not-too-distant future. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
To weather now, tonight will be dry with clear spells and some patches of mist or fog, but quite chilly with lowest temperatures of 4 to 8 degrees. And a look back on this evening's headlines. The Lifford Road in Strabane has reopened following an earlier road traffic collision. The Lifford Strabane Bridge had been closed to traffic since around 10 a.m. this morning due to a collision involving a motorcyclist on the Strabane Road. The road has now reopened and police say traffic is moving well. The Agricultural Minister says he's hopeful problems with school transport in North Finnishoan will be resolved shortly. There isn't enough capacity for all children with tickets on some routes, particularly between Clonmany and Carindonagh. And this morning, there were reports on the 9 till noon show of pupils effectively fighting for a seat on the bus. Concerns continue to be raised over potential delays to the four-lane project in Letterkenny. Works have been ongoing for months now and have resulted in much disruption to traffic, with it being the main artery into the town. The works were due to be complete by November this year, and at the latest meeting with local councillors, they remain confident the project would be delivered within the timeframe. However, Cathaoirleach of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly fears this may not be the case. And finally, it's thought part of a satellite falling from space could have caused a fireball spectacle last night. The International Meteor Organization recorded 876 reports of a glowing flash, with the majority of sightings between 9 and 10 p.m. and some sightings recorded in Donegal. That's all for now. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 15th of September. The death has taken place of Brendan Boyle, Erity, Manor Cunningham. Brendan's remains will repose at his late residence from 12 noon tomorrow until 10 p.m. and again on Saturday from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Funeral from his residence on Sunday morning at 10:45 to St. Columbus Church, Drumahill, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Motor Neuron Disease Association and the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred at her residence of Marie McGrath, Toulet, Burt. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 to St. Angus' Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Marie's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Marie McGinley, née Prendeville, Brookfield, Donegal Town. Marie will repose in Gallagher's funeral home at Mount Charles until 8 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 4 p.m. with removal at 5:30 to St. Noel's Church, Ardahi, Inver, arriving at 6 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers to As Dara Did and the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. The death has occurred of Sean John Boyle, Mullagh Duff, Kincashla. Sean's remains are reposing at Madeline's funeral home with Rosary tonight at 8 o'clock. He'll repose at his home in Mullagh Duff from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning with Rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, with burial afterwards in the new cemetery. The death has occurred of Eva Peoples, 398 Ardbeathan, St. Johnson. Eva is reposing at her late residence with Rosary at 6 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 to St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnson, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Carl Fisher, Carnador, Castle Finn. Remains reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for service in Monellan Parish Church at 2 o'clock with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. The death has occurred of Ray McCabe, née McElhenney, Letcher, Fawn. Remains reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St. Mary's Church, Fawn, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Ray's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Family fares only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Murphy funeral directors. And the death has occurred of Kathleen Ann Hanlon, Braj, Kincashla. Kathleen's remains will repose at her home until Rosary at 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, with interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.